Hello, hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome back to Simply Healthy. I'm your host, Lady B, and it's a thrill to have you here with us today. And today, we have another engaging and thought-provoking topic, outside-of-the-box thinkers. But before we get to our topic, our conversation, I have a special guest. Can you tell I'm excited? I have a special guest in here today, my mentor. She was also my boss. We sing together. Listen. Tell us who in studio today.
Hi, my name is Lynn Smith.
Yes. You hear that voice? She's just calmed me down.
It's good to be here.
Yes. Please tell us a little more about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Okay. I am a veteran teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching for over 40 years.
Yes, she has.
Yes. I'm a wife. Ooh. My husband is Pastor Michael Smith.
Pastor Michael Smith.
And I'm a mom to three adult children. Mm-hmm. And I have three sons-in-law.
What?
And I have three grandchildren. Mm. So I'm in the best time of my life, I think.
You live in
your
best life.
I'm just enjoying this.
I will be like you.
Yes. Don't worry, that time will come.
I know, right? So today, what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about kids who struggle with reading in school.
Okay.
And how it affects them.
Right.
Mentally.
Yes.
And how it can affect the home and their parents.
Okay.
Yeah. And I hope that our listeners can learn something from what we have to share today.
I'm sure they can, because there's a name that we use that we don't often hear about.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That name is dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have heard the name,
yes,
but don't really know what it is.
That is true.
And guess what? As long as I was teaching, mm-hmm. I didn't know much about it either.
Wow.
Until I went back to school and got another degree. Because I was trying to help kids who were struggling with reading, and there were just certain things that just wasn't working for them.
Okay.
And I've always been the kind of teacher, I am going to figure out
how she is telling
I can help my children do better.
Yes.
And so that led me to research more about why they were struggling. Mm. And every time I pulled up something, that word dyslexia kept coming up.
Okay.
So I was determined to find out what dyslexia is.
So you're still teaching today? What are you doing?
I am a private tutor.
Mm-hmm.
And I tutor children who have dyslexia.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
I am certified.
Yes.
I actually have two certifications that were very rigorous.
Mm.
It was very interesting going back to school, but it's paying off.
Okay.
I am able to help children, and that's a good feeling for me as a teacher.
Excellent.
To be able to see my kids improve.
Yeah, we need that. So anybody who has any issue with their child reading and stuff like that, Lynn Smith is right here. Give her a call, or you can call me, and I will direct you
to
her.
That's right.
Okay? So what is dyslexia?
Well, dyslexia is really the inability of a child to read the way that they should.
Oh.
Yeah. Of course, the official definition goes into a lot more depth.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is the children have difficulty reading.
Mm.
And what is so interesting is that it's really no fault of theirs. It's not that they're not paying attention in school. It's not that they're not getting what the teacher is saying. It's a neurobiological thing that happens in the brain.
Okay.
Now, scientists are still trying to figure out how it happens, where it starts, how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been able to figure out that the left side of the brain is the part responsible for the processes of reading. And children who have dyslexia, those areas of the brain are not firing as they should, as they do in most other children.
Okay.
And so they struggle with processing sounds that are involved in language.
Oh.
So it's difficult for them sometimes to even decipher the difference between the sound the F makes or the sound the V makes.
Right.
And so they're trying to figure that out while they're trying to read at the same time. So you put all of these things together, and for some of them, it's very confusing.
Okay, because I did read somewhere where it says they would confuse like the B with the D and stuff like that.
That happens very frequently. But there is help that, you know, we can teach them how to not be confused about that.
But so how is this diagnosed then? How do you know if a child is dyslexic?
Yeah, that word can be kind of tricky sometimes. I have to be slow when I say it myself. Yeah. A number of red flags will go up in a parent's mind. Usually it's a parent that if they're really paying attention to the child, they will begin to see some red flags. Teachers also should be able to pick up some red flags. Let me give you some examples. If a kindergartner is having trouble, especially coming down towards the end of the school year, if they have not been able to easily identify the letters of the alphabet and even the sounds that they make, that's a red flag.
Okay.
Now, I want to say that there's not just one red flag. So don't just go off when you see, oh my gracious, my child, you know,
like, that's they're taking so long to learn.
Yes,
no,
because every child has a different level of learning things. Not every child learns with the same pace, but you have to look at the trend of things. Mm-hmm. And so if they're going into grade one and everybody else is picking up how to blend these sounds together, and they're not able to blend, that's also something else. Yeah. And one of the other things is if they have figured out what a word is, let's say in paragraph one, and they come to that same word again in paragraph two, and they're like, what is this word? You know, and you're tempted to say, but you had that word already.
Right.
We had that word.
You know, we got a little impatient with
the children. Yes, we do. And but what happens is that they have very weak working memories. And the working memory has to do with how much the brain can hold at a certain period of time. And so with their working memory being weak, they have forgotten that they have seen the word cat before.
Wow.
So when they see it again, they have to stop and try to figure out what the word cat is.
Wow.
So, you know, basically, we know, especially if we've had more than one child, you kind of know what to expect at certain ages and at certain levels of school. And if things are not falling into place as you think they should, check with the child's pediatrician. Check with the teacher to see if the teacher has also noticed some of these things.
Right.
And when you begin to put everything together, then you realize, hey, maybe we should take this a bit further. Now, I do want to say something else, and you may ask me this later on, so let me say it in case both of us forget.
Okay.
Having said that, I want to put parents on the alert that they must not wait too long.
Right.
The best time to take this to the next level is at the end of kindergarten.
Oh.
If you feel that something is not right, do not wait. Most parents wait until the child gets to grade four. By that time, poor habits have been put in place and a lot of things have been missed.
I guess if they're feeling that, like we had said earlier, it takes different times for but if it goes too far, you must have some kind of gut feeling like, hey, something is really wrong.
That's true. We should not let that gap get any wider because the longer we wait, the wider that gap gets.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the child cannot get help, but it's going to be hard.
Right.
It's going to be hard and it's going to be rigorous because that's what I do. My interventions are rigorous because we've got to work on what it is they are weak in, and we don't have the time to do it because the longer the child has been without help, the more they're going to have to learn.
So what's the age bracket that you normally deal with?
I deal with kids as young as five.
Okay.
And I also have three high school students now.
Okay.
Because unfortunately, those high school students were allowed to go to that point, before anybody realized that there was a problem.
That's serious.
So I do have, I think I have, last year I had an adult as well.
Okay.
So I do.
I mean, it got to adulthood?
Mm-hmm.
So how did they make it all?
Well, her story is very interesting. She said to me that where she lived, she's not from the Bahamas.
Oh.
So where she lived, schooling wasn't, I guess, a thing that everybody did. And, you know, back in the day, most of our parents and grandparents only went to a certain level in school. Mm-hmm. And she had children when she was very young. So she started to put all her emphasis on the children going to school. So all she kind of went in the background.
Yeah.
And when she got older, and the children
right.
came out of the way, she realized this is something I need to do for myself. Yeah.
Okay. So this dyslexia can be managed.
It can be. Mm-hmm. It can be. And like I said, the earlier it is managed, the better. But what is very interesting is that they take different methods of instruction.
Okay.
All right. And that is what makes it challenging for dyslexic children mm-hmm. in a classroom. When you have a classroom mm-hmm. with 25 kids, mm-hmm. teachers may notice
right.
that certain things are off and they would like to help the kids. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to give them the time that they need.
They need that one-on-one.
They need more one-on-one. Mm. And they need a consistent program, and they need a rigorous program. They need a lot of repetition. Remember I said this problem with working memory?
Right.
So they need that repetition. Most kids, you know, in the classroom will get it the first time teacher right. says mm-hmm. it. And so teacher's going to go on to a new concept. But that mm-hmm. dyslexic child needs to have that same lesson repeated the next day.
So are there like specific tools and stuff? Like you said, a five-year-old, how do
you I start? Use a lot of manipulatives.
Okay.
And we work with multi-sensory activities.
Okay.
We do a lot of things that involve the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth especially. Right. What I do specifically with the mouth is to make sure the children observe how the sounds are made with the mouth. That's very important. Remember I said earlier that the F can sometimes be confused with the V because the F sound is F, watch my mouth.
True.
All right, it's the same thing, but the V says V.
Right.
So one is a voice sound and one is an unvoiced sound. So if they can recognize what their mouth is doing, then they're like, oh,
makes sense.
It really
that
does.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually, it's teaching me something here just now.
I use a lot of different methods.
Wow.
Excuse me.
I like that. That should be... I guess you have to be a patient person to work with these kind of children.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I thank the Lord every day that he gives me that patience.
Mercy.
Yeah.
You are patient. I must say, I've worked with her, and she's the most calm. She will take however long it is for you to get it right.
Listen,
I don't tell anyone. She was like my best boss ever.
I just enjoy working with children. And for me, to see them get it. So I do whatever I have to do. If I have to repeat it the next day, okay.
You do it again.
So we do it again.
All right.
And what is also important is that you must not let the child feel as if they are, as if you are being impatient with them.
Yes.
They have to feel that success.
Yes.
So if that success is going to come because we have to do it again, then great. Give me high five.
All right.
We just did this.
I think they're already feeling some sort of frustration and
they
anger
are.
When they can't get it right.
They
so,
are.
You know, we don't need to be frustrated
That's right.
and angry.
That's right. Kids know when they're not keeping up with their peers.
Yes.
They know. Mm-hmm. We don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
But they also feed off of our vibes as parents
True.
And as teachers.
True.
And they know when we are losing patience with them and when we are upset with them.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't have to say anything, just the way we look.
Yes.
And you know?
I force them to close it.
Yes.
Like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything.
And they're not going to try.
Listen, we as adults have that problem.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. So, you know, as you talk about wellness, I think about the emotional wellness of children who are struggling.
Yep.
We as adults need to give them that sense of success, that feeling that they can accomplish this. It may be difficult, but you can do this. We need to be their best allies.
We be there like, your head's so hot. Didn't I just
tell that's
you
it. That's
we
it.
Can't do that kind
no,
of stuff.
We can't. No, because they're already realizing they can't do it. And remember what I said earlier, that because this is something to do with the brain, many times we say, but can't you try harder?
Right.
Can't you do this?
And that's going to stick in their
brain. And that's going to stick
and
with
they
them.
And they feel worthless.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But there's a flip side to these types of person. They also have some strengths.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do have some strengths. I did a workshop with some teachers a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really blew their minds after I talked about dyslexia, I showed them on the slide persons, well-known, famous persons.
Yes, I saw that. I read that. I'm like, wow.
That have dyslexia. And they were like, what?
Yes.
Well, let me see if I can remember some of them.
Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein is one.
And there's this Picasso person.
Yes. Tom Cruise is another.
Even Leonardo da Vinci.
Leonardo da Vinci. And look how famous they are.
I was like, wow.
You have, what are those two guys on Shark Tank? Raymond Damien, he's one. Yes.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he is. Michael Jordan.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Steve Jobs. And look at what they have been able to do.
I would never have guessed.
You would never have. But what, excuse me, what we find is that they may struggle with reading, but they are good at other things. And so as we talk about giving children confidence and helping their self-esteem, we need to find their strengths.
Right.
Because they do have strengths.
Yes.
They think outside the box.
Outside the box.
They are very creative.
Yes.
They are great storytellers.
Yes.
They are great dramatists.
Yes.
They are great actors.
They're problem solvers too.
Yes, they are problem solvers. And so when they give you an idea, don't put it down.
Yeah.
It may sound weird.
Yeah.
It may sound strange, but give them an opportunity to fix it, to work
That's
it out because they can do it.
That's right.
Some of these kids are very good athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are good artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're good at music. They're good at drama.
Wow.
They're good at dance.
Wow.
They're good at science. Reading is really the only thing that they struggle with.
That is so interesting.
Which is really sad because
you need to read.
Reading is the basis of everything that we do in life.
But then again, you know, these days you have Google. I guess you still need to know how to write it down.
You do.
Actually, no, you talk to Siri.
That's
Siri
true.
Will say
that's
everything
true.
For you.
That's true.
But you still need that reading, though.
You do have assistive technologies that can help kids to get through life, to get through school. But there are still some times when we do need that reading. And so that's a basic skill in life.
I found that so interesting as I was researching it because, you know, I have to do my research. I was like, dyslexia? I never read about it or thought about
it. That's right.
But they have some really good strengths and they're full of empathy.
Full of empathy. They are. It's really amazing. They will be the first ones in a class to say, teacher, are you okay today?
Yeah.
You know, you don't look very happy today. they pick up on things that most kids don't.
Yeah. That's good.
So we have to find their strengths and really play upon that.
So if a parent realizes that maybe they need some extra help, Can a parent actually do this on their own if they wanted to, or a teacher?
They can. I know of some parents who have been able to help their children.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does take a lot of time.
Right.
And so a parent has to be committed to putting in that time. And the time has to be consistent. It can't just be Sunday, then Thursday, then nothing for another week. They have to almost schedule it and organize that during.